This is the first Sunday of a new year. We're past that year. Woo! Aren't you glad to be done with it? Maybe it was a great year for you. I don't know. But 2025, I'm excited about it. I don't know. There's optimism in the air. We've had enough down years. It's time for an up year, right? We're starting off with some awfully good weather, I'll tell you that. Unbelievable. Oh, it's not good weather? You'd rather have snow? You'd rather have 2 years ago, Snowmageddon? No. No, okay. Well, I hope, I believe, I trust that this will be a great year. Now, as 1 year ends and another year begins, people like to set goals for the year to improve their lives. Do you set New Year's resolutions? Well, is that something only young people do? We give up because we never quite make them. So some of you do. You set goals for the year. Do you usually accomplish your goals? Well, many of our goals have to do with self-improvement, like losing some weight or getting into shape or getting closer to God. Those are all good things, all worthy ambitions. So do make some goals. But let me make two suggestions, all right? Here's number one. Set realistic goals. Goals that are within reach and are achievable. In other words, don't say, well, this year I'm going to lose 100 pounds. That's probably not a realistic goal. You're probably not going to make it. But you can set the same goal to lose a little weight. You can say, I'm going to lose 3 pounds a month. And by the end of the year, I will have lost some substantial weight. You can set a smaller goal, and each time you reach it, you know, set it again. Or you say, I want to run a marathon this year. Well, that's probably not realistic for most of us. Maybe we should set a goal to run a 3 mile run, it's called a 5K. That'd be a pretty good goal for many of us, right? Even to walk a 5K. And then if we accomplish that, then we can say, well, the year's not over yet, let's make it a 10K, a 6 mile race. And if you accomplish that, then you can say, well, let's do a half marathon. You can set goals in the middle of the year. And maybe by the end of the year, you will have done your marathon. But if you didn't, at least you accomplished some goals. Same with reading the Bible. I hear people say, well, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. Maybe that's too lofty a goal. Maybe you should set something just a little short of that. A chapter a day or a few verses a day. Now, that's my first suggestion, is set realistic goals. Number two is find a goal partner, somebody that'll hold you accountable, that'll join you. King Solomon, who was considered the wisest man who ever lived, he said it this way. He says, two are better than one. You can set a goal, but boy, if someone else sets a goal with you, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Maybe get an accountability partner. Say, let's together decide on how much weight we want to learn or how much exercise we want to do or how many times we want to go to the club or how many verses we want to read, and work together with somebody that will hold you accountable. So today I'm going to encourage you to set a goal, and I'm going to suggest that you find a partner to hold you accountable. Now, the goal I'm suggesting is nothing new because I suggest it every year. Pretty much every year at the beginning of the year, I say, make it a goal to read your Bible every day. That's an achievable goal. Read your Bible. I'm not saying read a lot. Read your Bible. I'm not suggesting you read for hours every day because I know you probably won't accomplish that. It's unrealistic. But at least a few minutes each day, we should be able to stop and see what God has to say. We just were saying the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. But we read every other book but the Bible sometimes. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It needs to become a habit. Now, I discovered an interesting fact that might be helpful. How many chapters are there in the New Testament? Anybody know that? Shall I tell you? 260 chapters in the New Testament. Now, if you have to read a little bit of the Bible, I would encourage you to read the New Testament because it's the story of Jesus and how Christianity applies to our life. Now, here's what the interesting fact is. Guess how many weekdays there are in a year? 260. Let me tell you what I'm suggesting. If you read one chapter of the New Testament each weekday, that's Monday through Friday, not the weekends, Monday through five chapters each day, how many weeks are there in a year? 52. What's 5 times 52? 260. Here's what I'm driving at. If you read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday, of the New Testament, you will have read through the whole New Testament in a year. Maybe you haven't done that in a long, long time, read through the whole New Testament. And that leaves the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, to catch up on the day that you missed because of something that came up. Or if you're current in your five chapters, then maybe read a little bit of the Psalms and Proverbs too. I think that's a workable plan, don't you? Is that an achievable goal to read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday? And by this time next year, you will say, I have read through the New Testament. Now, I know many of you are way beyond this. You are really good readers. You say, that's too easy. And you want to read the whole Bible in a year. Well, go for it. That's fantastic. Now, you can just begin at the beginning and read about five or six chapters a day, and you'll get through the Bible. That's a lot of reading, but some of you, it's just no big deal. You love to read. Many of you have used what's called the one-year Bible. Let's see, here it is right here, the one-year Bible. And what this does is this gives you a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, a little bit of Psalms, a little bit of Proverbs each day, and it puts it out into 365 readings. So if you read through this consistently, you will have made through the whole Bible in a year. That's a great goal. Many of you have that, and you can use them year after year after year. They last forever because each year you start fresh. Let me encourage you. Let's say today is the 5th. Which it is. Don't try to start on first. Start on the 5th. Just start reading each day. It's okay. You'll eventually come all the way around to the beginning again. Don't get too far behind. Then you start feeling guilty. So if you want to read the whole Bible, that's a great goal, but it may be too lofty for us who are not big readers. And for you, I would challenge you to read through the New Testament, the one chapter a day, 5 days a week. Now, let me just go even further to say, for some of you, a chapter a day is too much, especially those long chapters. Then set a smaller goal. Say, I want to read a few verses a day, even a verse a day, or two or three, or just a few, and think about it, and then put my marker there and pick it up the next day. A few verses a day is better than nothing, right? You need it. There are guides. We always have in the back of the bulletin, room, what's called the Daily Bread. This is a reading for every day. This one here is for January, February, and March. So if you have trouble with a Bible reading program, these have a Bible verse and usually a thought and some suggestions for your life. So try a daily devotional that'll keep you in the Word a little bit each day. I threw a few books up here just to show you. There are so many ways you could do a daily devotional. This one's called Jesus Calling. It's the words of Jesus put into 365 readings. Fantastic little book. This one's called My Utmost for His Highest. And this is a day-by-day selection from a great, wonderful book by Oswald Chambers. On the one-year theme, there's themes, one-year books of the Bible for men. This is this one. Men of the Bible in 1 year, 365 readings. There's one for women. This is the one I've enjoyed many, many years. It's called Renewed. It's a day-by-day reading by Tozer, A.W. Tozer. So it's a little deeper. The one I'm using this year is Rick Warren's book called Open Doors. So, you know, I don't care what method you use. What's important is that you use some method to get you into the Word. It's not how much you read that's important, but it's how much you assimilate, how much you apply, how much you learn. And if you learn easier by going a little dose at a time, that's okay. You don't have to read five chapters of the Bible. It's not how much you read, but how much you learn. But as you read, whatever you read, take time to think about it. Don't just read it to get through the duty of reading the Bible. Take time to meditate upon it. Pray about it. That's why maybe five chapters is too time-consuming for you. but a few verses, a devotional, some way that you could have a quiet time each day meditating on God and His Word. Now, as for accountability, why not find a friend that'll agree to do the same thing as you? To read the same book, the same daily devotional, the same Bible reading, same chapters, and then you can meet weekly to discuss what you learned in those five chapters or those one chapter a day, whatever you're doing. Remember when, maybe they still have them, they used to have book clubs where all the members would agree to read a part of a book and then they would get together and discuss it. Why not have a Bible book club where you get together and just say, let's agree together how much to read. Let's come back a week from now and let's discuss what we read. Wouldn't that be fun, week after week after week, to have a Bible book club, kind of an old-fashioned get-together just to study God's Word? No agenda other than maybe have a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and discuss God's Word. Now, why is it so important to read the Bible? As the kids said, it's God's Word. It's God's communication. It's God's message to His people. It's God's letter to us. It's how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. As we read, He touches us and speaks to us. It's how He comforts us. Do we ever need comforted? Look to the book of Psalms and be comforted. Read God's Word. It's how God enlightens us and teaches us. It's how we grow spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You won't grow unless you read God's Word. It's your food. It's your milk. It's your nourishment. So this morning I'm going to share 10 benefits of reading the Bible. Now probably there could be 100 benefits, but I'm going to share 10 of them. I think my goal is to convince you that this is a worthy goal, a worthy resolution, a worthy commitment to read the Bible each and every day. And most of my thoughts are going to come from Psalm 19, which we read in our scripture reading, and Psalm 119, an unbelievable chapter where every verse of the longest chapter of the Bible talks about God's Word. And both of these chapters share the wonderful benefits, the rewards of reading God's Word. Our key verse is Psalm 19, verses 10 and 11. They, meaning God's words, are more desirable than gold. Did you hear that? Reading God's Word is more important, more desirable than getting wealthy. More desirable than gold, yes, much fine gold. If you have to choose between God and God's and gold, it's God. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of a honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping of them there is great reward. Do you believe that? If you read God's Word, you will be rewarded. There's benefits to reading God's Word. So what I want to do is I'm going to take from this passage 10 benefits that we receive from reading God's Word, 10 rewards. And I've included an outline in the bulletin. If you're one that likes to take notes, you won't remember 10 points. That's too many. But if you write it down, you may remember some of them. Number one, are you ready? Got your pens ready? Reading your Bible brings renewal, revival, restoration, whatever the word you want to use there. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Does your soul need a little restoring? A little renewing? Have you lost your first love? Have you drifted away from God a little bit? Keith Green wrote this song. It's so honest. It says, my eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. Isn't that a beautiful song? as a man who admits that we sometimes grow cold. We sometimes need a little spiritual revival. Let me encourage you to return to the Lord by returning to His Word. It's one and the same thing. You return to the Lord by returning to His Word and hearing Him speak to you. God's Word will awaken you from your slumber. God's Word will restore you if you've drifted. God's Word will revive you. Pray with David, revive me according to your word. Revive me, God. That's a good prayer. I need awakened. I need revived. I promise that if you faithfully read and study God's word, you'll be able to say with David a few verses later, ready? Your word has revived me. Revive me according to your word. And now he says, your word has revived me. Daily study of God's word will breathe new life into your soul. You will again be hearing God's small voice through his word. You'll again sense that sweet communion with God because he speaks to you through his word. Now that alone should be enough to motivate us to read God's word. We need a spiritual awakening, renewal, but there's more. Our second benefit today, reading the Bible brings wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Do you need wisdom? Who doesn't need wisdom? Life is so complex, so challenging. We all need God's wisdom to survive, to thrive. Look at Psalm 19:7. We just read the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple, that's me. I'm a simple-minded guy. I'm not very complex. I'm not brilliant. I need God's wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? Well, make me wise. Making wise the simple, the testimony of the Lord. According to this verse, when we hear God's word, his testimony, it makes us more wise. Wisdom comes from God and His Word. In the New Testament, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, that's me, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously. I need wisdom, and God gives me wisdom if I ask. As we immerse ourselves into God's Word, we get the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible is, the mind of Christ. It makes us understand more. We begin seeing life from God's perspective, through God's eyes. We begin making wiser choices, wiser decisions. As we hear God's word, let it filter through our life, it will change the way we live. We'll be wiser people. Listen to this verse from Psalm 119, verse 98. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Wow. I have more insight than all my teachers. Really? I can understand more than the aged. The wise old men, you'll understand more than them if you'll be in God's word. Because, why? I have observed your precepts. I have looked at your word. I have listened to your word. I have applied your word. There's a link between obeying God's word and attaining wisdom. If you want to become wise, then read, study, and apply God's word. Do you remember Daniel in the Old Testament? He was just a teenager when Babylon came in and destroyed his city, and he was one of the POWs, one of the prisoners of war that got taken back to Babylon. Here he is, a teenager in Babylon. He doesn't know their language. What a foreign, crazy place. He could have gotten into all kinds of mischief and trouble. I'm far away from home. My parents won't know. My grandparents won't know. The priests won't know. The temple's been burned down. I can live my own life. He chose to follow God and God's word. And God gave him supernatural wisdom. Remember when he was tested and he passed? He said no to temptation and yes to God. And when he was trained, it says he became wiser than all the wise men of Babylon. This young boy grew up to become wiser than all the others. He became second only to King Nebuchadnezzar. Amazing what God can do if you will just submit yourself to him. He'll give you wisdom better than your teachers, better than the aged. I had a friend in Bible college. His name was Leonard. We came to school the same year, and he was not the best student. So he got on what's called academic probation. Now, Bible colleges don't want to send kids home. The whole idea is to train them for ministry. He couldn't keep up. He couldn't pass any classes. Leonard just was not a student. But somebody said, you know, if you'll spend time in God's Word, you'll get closer to him. So he really deliberately began to have devotions in the morning and pray and ask for wisdom. And he ended up not only passing, but passing all 4 years with a B average. He managed to gain wisdom where he didn't have it naturally. God gave it to him. A very successful Christian man. So academic success, if you're a student, is linked directly to a deeper fellowship with God. It's not how much of that subject you know, it's how much of God you know, and he will give you insight into the subjects that you're learning. So far we've seen two benefits of reading God's Word. Number one, it brings renewal to your soul, brings wisdom to your mind. That's what we need. Number three, reading the Bible brings discernment. That's a Christian word, isn't it? Discernment. This is closely related to wisdom. It's the ability to know right from wrong. Right from wrong. Do we need discernment? To know right from wrong? Sometimes things seem so gray and we don't know which way to go. I suppose this is especially relevant to teens. Young adults who are standing at the pathway deciding which way to go with their life, what direction to go for their career, what kind of friends to hang out with, they're at a junction. What's right? What's wrong? What's truth? What's error? What's good? What's evil? We all need discernment. Listen to what Psalm 19:8 says. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Enlightening the eyes. We need our eyes enlightened to know right from wrong, good from evil. Adam and Eve, don't you wish they would have had more discernment? Choose to obey God or disobey God? Well, they were drawn over to disobeying God. And they lived to regret that the rest of their life. They took they went off the path and followed Satan instead of God. Aren't you glad that God drew them back? We face decisions where we need discernment. We need wisdom. We need to know what God wants us to do. God's Word will help us be wiser and more discerning as we make those choices. Number four, reading the Bible brings joy. Don't you wish you had a little more joy in your life? Isn't that what people are looking for, is happiness and joy, the pursuit of happiness? God's Word will revive your joy. How do I know? Because of chapter 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing the heart. One of the byproducts of reading God's Word is inner joy. You will be excited. There'll be joy. There'll be happiness just in reading God's Word. When you get out of fellowship with God, you lose your joy. When David strayed away from God and got involved in an immoral relationship, he lost his joy. How do I know? Because he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I've lost that joy. When you're away from God, you're not going to be a happy person. You're going to be a miserable person. When you get right with God, have fellowship with God, there's a link between fellowship with God and joy and inner peace. You will never have true, lasting joy, true, lasting happiness until you have a right relationship with God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you will overflow with contentment and peace and joy. Number five, the fifth benefit of reading the Bible brings purity. It's been said, the Bible will keep you away from sin, and sin will keep you away from the Bible. That's not a Bible verse, that's a quote. Say that with me, ready? The Bible will keep you away from sin, and sin will keep you away from the Bible. I believe that's a true statement, don't you? Have you found it true in your life that when you're involved in sin, you don't want to read the Bible, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to be around Christians because you want to continue living this kind of life? It's walking away from God. When you're reading God's word, that's what draws you back, brings purity to your heart. You're not likely to read the Bible unless you're in communion with God. When we read God's word, it produces a desire for purity, for holiness. Listen to Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's the question a lot of men have. How can I get away from these impure thoughts and these motives? How can I keep my way pure? And it's answered right there. By keeping it according to your word. Men, we seem especially tempted by impure thoughts and lusts. We're hammered daily with commercials that are arousing, sexually themed media, billboards, magazine covers, TV, the internet. We are bombarded with immoral thoughts. We need to be in God's word daily to balance that out. The Bible says to think on things that are good and pure and holy and right. We need our hearts and our minds washed by the word every day. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I treasured in my heart. Your word have I memorized and meditated on. I treasure it that I might not sin against you. It's going to help us in our purity. We need to value, treasure God's word. And it says, in my heart, in my mind, I need to meditate and think about it. And as a result, God will give us pure thoughts. He will cleanse our minds. Are you ready for number 6? We're halfway through. We've got 10 benefits under the covered. What have we learned so far? God's word brings us spiritual renewal, wisdom, discernment, inner joy, purity of heart. That's enough right there to make me want to read God's word. But we've got 5 more. The 6th benefit of reading God's word is the Bible brings you strength. Strength. When you're facing trials, go to God's word for strength. Listen to Psalm 119:28. My soul weeps because of grief. Now let's just stop there. Does your soul weep because of grief? Have you lost somebody? Have you lost a friend? Are you facing some difficult situation? My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me, God. Give me strength to face this trial, this difficult situation. If you're weak, if you're weary, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. We need to pray these words. Strengthen me according to your word. As a kid, I enjoyed watching Popeye. Did you guys like Popeye? Popeye? Yeah. Remember his girlfriend, cute little olive oil? I guess cute. I don't know. Was she cute? Then he had a nemesis. Is that how you say it? Nemesis? He had a guy that was always in all the cartoons named Bluto, sometimes called Brutus. Remember that whole triangle thing there? They both love olive oil. They always have to do battle. But when Popeye was weak, he reached for what? Spinach. Spinach for strength. Now that's an interesting dichotomy of propaganda. On one hand, we're encouraged to eat spinach. So I think this must have been designed by somebody that was in the spinach industry to get kids to eat spinach. You have a cartoon guy that likes spinach. But on the other hand, it encouraged smoking and fighting. The hero's got a pipe in his mouth and got tattoos and he's got fists and he fights a lot. That's kind of a strange cartoon, wasn't it? Even though I watched it, I never had a taste for spinach or for smoking or for fighting or for tattoos. So it didn't rub off on me too well. Now, when we're weak, we don't need something in our stomach. We don't need spinach. We need something in our heart, in our mind. We need inner strength. We have something better than spinach. We have God's word. When you're weak, go to God's word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on God. Let his word strengthen you. Pray, strengthen me according to your word. Not according to my vitamins or my spinach, but according to your word. You know, this is also true of temptations, not just trials, but temptations. God's word will strengthen us to resist temptations. Remember Jesus, when he went into the wilderness, spent 40 days without food, and Satan came to him and tested him over and over again. How did Jesus resist? Did he say, I need some spinach? No, he says, trust in the Lord. He says, I quoted scriptures. He countered Satan with scriptures. If you're going to do that, you got to know God's word to be able to quote it. You got to stand on the promises to be able to resist. So the Bible is what gave him strength. God's word gave him strength to resist temptation. God's word will help you through your tests, your trials, and your temptations. Be in God's word so you are strengthened from the inner man. Number 7, reading God's word brings guidance. Do you ever need guidance? Which way to go? Where to live, what to do, what career to take, when to retire. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What's the purpose of a lamp? To show you the way, right? God's word shows you the way to go. But how far does it shine out? Usually just a few feet ahead. A lamp is not a spotlight. It's not a flashlight. It just shows you just the next step or two. And likewise, we need guidance one day at a time, every day. We don't get God's guidance one day for the rest of our life and say, that's it. We have a lamp that just shows us each step to take. We move forward following that light. How do you like driving in the fog up here? You've lived here long enough to know about the fog. Thick fog that you can't even see. The goal when you're in the fog is to do what? Keep your car between those two lines, right? Keep your car behind the line. If you do that, you'll eventually get to where you want to go, hopefully safely. One of my favorite Bible promises is found in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, God's going to show you through his lamp, through his quiet voice. This is the way. He'll guide you. If you're listening, he will direct you where to go, what steps to make. God's word keeps you on the right path. God's word gives you guidance. We need God's word. Number 8, our 8th benefit of reading God's word is it brings peace. Psalm 119, 165 says, those who love your law have great peace. When you love God's word, you have great peace. What a great promise. We live in a life that's full of turmoil and trouble, and we need peace. Sure, we're going to still experience hardship, but we can have peace in the hardship. Yes, we're going to experience trials and sickness. There's going to be issues, but we have peace in those issues. Through it all, you can have God's peace that passes all understanding. Jesus promised, he says, peace I leave with you. This is my gift to you as I go. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be troubled. Yes, there's troubling times, there's troubling issues, but you can have peace in it. How was this past year for you? Was it a troubling year? A trying year? Are you facing a health concern? A financial setback? A relationship challenge? A difficult trial? Are you worried about the future? then let Christ's peace rule in your heart. Let Christ's peace overrule your troubles, your fears, your anxious thoughts. Jesus gave you peace. That's what makes us different. We can have peace in spite of the trials around us. The same verse reveals our ninth benefit of reading the Bible. Reading the Bible brings stability. Same verse. Those who love your law will have great peace. We saw that. And nothing causes them to stumble. We hear about Christians all the time that are stumbling. This is a promise that if you stay in God's word, you won't stumble. If you're obeying God's word, you'll stay on the path. You won't get off the path. You won't get lost. You won't be overwhelmed. When storms come, and they do come, don't they? And they will come, won't they? We have all this optimism for the next year, but we don't know what we face, what's around the corner, what troubles are going to come, what loved ones might pass in your life. It may be a hard year. But God's word is your firm foundation that you stand upon, and God gives you stability and doesn't knock you off your feet. You stand strong because you trust in God. I'm reminded of Psalm 1. It says the person who meditates on God's word day and night is what? Like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. We got deep roots. When the storms come, we don't get knocked over. We're stable. We're strong. Are you putting down deep roots into God's word? You will if you read it every day. You'll be putting your roots, your thoughts, your mind, your heart into God's word. You'll be strong. You'll be stable. Finally, we see one more benefit today. That's one more benefit today. There's more benefits you could read, I'm sure. Reading the Bible builds your faith. It builds your faith. I hear people sometimes say, well, I just wish I had more faith. God answers that question. It's very, very clear. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You want more faith? Immerse yourself in God's word. Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. Do you need greater faith? Then spend lots of time in God's word. It will build your faith. The more you read about Christ, the more you trust in Christ, the more you'll have faith to stand. Now it says, hears God's word. Jesus says, if you have ears, listen, hear. Hearing implies not just hearing and going in one ear and out the other. Hearing implies listening, obeying, applying God's word to your life. James says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not hearers only. So hearing is more involved than just ears. It's response to the heart. We need to hear God's word. You know, we have Christian radio. You can hear God's words all day long. You can listen to the preachers. There's great ones on the radio. As you're driving to work, you can listen to Christian music. You can be hearing God's word all the time. You've got a computer. You can find through YouTube anybody you've heard about, some preacher. You can check him out on YouTube. He's there. Now, be wise, be discerning, not to choose somebody that's out there teaching false doctrine, but get some recommendations from your Christian friends of who you should listen to and hear God's word. Now, what's the best method to hear the Bible? I don't think there is a best method because we're all different. Some of you are readers, and the best way for you is just to read God's word. You're avid readers. Read then. Do it. Others, like me, I'm not much of a reader. I'll be honest. I get dozy when I read. I'm a better auditory listener. For me, what's best is YouTube, because I can see the words and hear the words at the same time. So I find there's lots of those kind of sites where they'll just read you God's word and you can follow along or follow in your Bible as you listen. So we must find the method that's best for you. It may not be best for me, but best for you. If you're a listener, there's lots of Bible apps. Your computer, you can find them on your computer, your phone. There's lots of ways to have the Bible read to you or sent to you each day as a daily reading. Now, you may say, when I read the Bible, I don't really remember it. I don't retain it. My mind is like a strainer. It just goes through. I don't catch much. It just goes through. It just flows out as quickly as it comes in. Can any of you relate to that? Well, that's okay. Listen now. You may not realize it, but God's word is still having an effect on your heart and on your mind, even through the subconscious. Just reading it, even if you don't understand it, is going to have an effect on you. Water flowing through a strainer produces a clean strainer. Water flowing through you, God's word flowing through you, is going to clean your life. It's going to cleanse your life. You will be changed as a result. God's word will accomplish its purpose. I'm going to wrap up with this verse. It's Isaiah 55, verse 10. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose." It shall accomplish that which I purpose. So God's word is accomplishing something in your life. Even if you don't know it, it's cleansing you. It's cleansing your heart, your soul, your life, your thoughts. God's word will accomplish God's purposes. If we spend time in it, you will change. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God will transform you as you spend time in his word. Okay, are you convinced yet to read God's word? Do you see the benefits, the rewards? Let me review it again. 10 benefits of reading God's word is spiritual renewal, wisdom, discernment, joy and happiness, purity of heart, purity of thought, strength, inner strength to face the trials of this world, guidance, direction, peace, stability, faith, and we could probably find hundreds of other rewards. The main reward is you get to know God better. You get to know his word better. You get to know his son better. You get to know the plan of God better by spending time in his word. So as we close, I'm going to encourage you to do two things. Number one, commit right now to reading the Bible every day. You got to make that decision between you and God. I'm not going to ask you, but make a commitment. Say, I'm going to spend a little time each day in the Bible, even if it's just a verse or two. Number two, find a friend, or two or three, who will join you and read the same verses, and read the same chapters, and discuss it, hold you accountable, maybe even get together with you to discuss what you've read. You will have an incredible year. 2025 will be a year that you draw closer to the Lord through his word. Now, I mentioned some of these daily devotionals. The daily bread's a good one. If you don't have anything else, use the daily bread. Now, I have placed out, the church bought a few of the one-year Bibles. They're on the table where the cookies are. We got a little bit of a discount, so for $20, we paid for those books. If you want to buy one for $20, you can just place the $20 in the offering. If you don't have $20, you can take one. The church is not going to keep track of who pays and who doesn't pay. We want you to have God's word. If you can afford to pay for it, fine. But there's a half a dozen or so one-year Bibles if you don't have one. If you're going to take on the challenge of reading a lot, a one-year Bible will help you do that. All right. Read God's word every day and find a partner to do it with you. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that your word is a light and a lamp to guide us. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Give us peace of heart as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.